it's the Tully Ringy Legal Power Hour on 810 WGY.
You're listening to the Tully Ringy Legal Power Hour. I'm Matthew Tully, and each Sunday at 9 p.m., my co-host Greg Ringy and I will explore legal and political topics on local and national levels. In addition to listening to our radio show, we're broadcasting around the world, courtesy of the World Wide Web. Go to www.wgy.com and click on Listen Live for a webcam of our studio and to listen to us live. If you missed a segment, visit our show's website at www.tullyrinkyshow.com for podcasts of older segments and to comment on our show's blog. Tonight, we're going to talk about judges giving themselves pay raises, the pension scandal involving as many as 300 lawyers across New York State, and how do celebrity lawyers get away with some of the things that they say. We're joined tonight by Scott Bush, a named partner in the Albany law firm of Roach, McCorrigan, McCoy, and Bush, located across the street from the Times Union Center in downtown Albany. Joining us each week are Valerie and Chris, our on-air correspondents. In the producer's booth is Greg Cordeloup, Caitlin, and our favorite intern, Taylor. If you want to join in on the discussion, give our assistant Taylor a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or send us an email at info@tullyrinkyshow.com. And if you're in your car, just press star WGY on your cell phone to get in touch with us. All this information can be found on our website at www.tullyrinkyshow.com. To start things off, we're joined by WGY host Al Roney.
Hello. Hey, thanks for this is very strange. I'm actually a guest on somebody else's show.
It's an honor to have you here, Al.
It was great. The other day we had Greg, your partner in crime here, Greg Ringy, talking about the judges' pay raises, which you guys are going to be talking about a little bit tonight. Great job. I'm excited to be a part of this, and I'm happy that you guys are going to be my go-to legal analysts on any issues that come up on my show. And it's something I've been looking forward to for a long time, especially with the backgrounds that both of you guys share in military law and some of the other things that come up. But Greg, you did a great job on the air the other day. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Al, and thank you for kicking us off tonight.
Hey, no problem.
Al, you know something that not many people know about you? You used to serve in the military.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, 4 years active, 4 years reserves. I kept the streets in the state of Denver very safe. No wars broke out while on my watch. I don't know if it was a coincidence or not. You have to make up your own mind. But I know you're a major.
I still am. Yeah, I'm a major in the New York Army National Guard.
I'm out now, so I don't have to call you sir, I guess. I get a pass on that. But, I mean, you have a lot of background with military law. You wrote for the Army Times.
Right, we still do. We write for the Army Times, Navy Times, Marine Corps Times, Air Force Times. It's a biweekly column, so every 2 weeks you can go online at militarytimes.com, and I write about issues affecting members of the military.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. So right, another thing that's right in my wheelhouse, being a big fan of the military myself.
Yeah. Great. Hey, Al, thanks again for coming by tonight, and please stay by and show me how to work the boards here. But I want to roll over to Scott Bush, name partner in Roach, Corrigan, McCoy, and Bush. Did I get that right?
You got that correct, and thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, it's our pleasure. For our listeners out there, Scott has been my attorney for about 5 years on and off for various legal issues that have popped up in my life. I consider him to be the best ethical attorney in the greater Capital Region. I go to him whenever there's any questions about ethical issues that arise in the legal profession. And I don't know anybody better to speak about legal ethics than Scott. And it's a great honor to have you here tonight, Scott, on our inaugural show.
Well, again, thanks. I don't know if all of that praise is... I'm worthy of all that praise, let's put it that way, but I do appreciate the compliments, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Scott, I wanted to talk to you tonight about what are the legal restrictions that Greg and I as attorneys are faced with when we appear on the air?
Well, I think probably one of the biggest things you got to be concerned about is any advertising that you do in the program for your firm. I know the rules of advertising right now are in a state of flux because of the litigation that's been going on with respect to the new rules that came down. But I think that's one of the biggest concerns you got to have with respect to what you're doing right now.
Well, actually, Scott, isn't just having this show, couldn't this be considered a form of advertising?
Yes, my being on the show could be a form of advertising if you want to get real technical. Advertising, the way they're restricting it and looking at it is media advertising, newspapers, television, radio, on the internet because the electronic aspect of it has become huge. I know attorneys who have websites, they have blogs, they have their own emails, and they have all of this, all of their internet stuff. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not that familiar with it. I'm what they call a computer stupid in my office, okay, technologically handicapped. But, you know, those are some of the issues that the new rules address. And I think that's going to be one of the bigger things. And one of the concerns that the courts, that the four departments have is the faults, the bravado that attorneys throw out in their advertising, speculation on what they can and can't do for you and that type of thing. That's what the court's concerns are. That's why the new rules came down. Some of the attorneys thought they went too far, so they brought litigation in federal court with respect to that. And those are the concerns that I think you have to be aware of in a show. And I know on a talk show like this, you know, if I'm giving you guys some advice, be careful about the opinions you give to people. And if a caller calls in asking you legal questions and giving them advice, you don't have to get paid to be an attorney-client relationship. If you're giving advice to someone over the air, that may be something you have to be concerned about too.
Good point.
Scott, the question I have is, we call this the Tully Ringy Legal Power Hour. And that's Greg's and my last name. It's also the name of our law firm, the Tully Ringy PLLC. How can you possibly mix up the radio talk show as advertising with the law firm? I guess as Greg and I become more prominent in the local community, our names become more prominent. And when we do this type of talk show, we're doing this, in my opinion, as private citizens, not as lawyers.
Okay, and that may be correct. And that's why when anybody ever calls me about a question regarding a violation of a disciplinary rule, the first thing I do is open up the Code of Professional Responsibility, because I don't memorize these things. I mean, and they're black and white. You violate a disciplinary rule, then you may have a problem. But they're specific, very direct rules that govern our conduct, and those are the things that you've got to take a look at. Having this show, you want to get to the extreme. Yeah, it's a form of advertising. Like I said, my being here, I'm advertising myself. I hand out a card to somebody. Joe Schmo off the street, I give him my card. That's a form of advertising.
But can lawyers ever separate? I mean, you have celebrities that are lawyers. Can they ever separate from when they're a lawyer and when they're a private citizen? Or when you take the oath as a member of the New York State Bar, are you a lawyer 24/7?
Well, the celebrities, they may have a law degree, but are they lawyers practicing law in the state of New York? I kind of doubt that. And I'm sure we can all think of some of those people we've seen on some of the cable shows who profess to have, you know, experience as an attorney or practicing law at some point in time in their life. But with their antics that they put on the shows and everything and the things that they say on occasion, I don't know if they're still actively practicing law or enrolled or paid their biannual fees that for them to continue to practice law, to be quite honest with you. But do I consider them attorneys? No. If they are, then they should be governed by the same rules as everybody else.
I guess I'm just a little bit taken back that because I became a lawyer, I lost some of my rights to free speech. And as I become a prominent lawyer, I become more of a target, I guess, for my competitors and for others that are, I guess, jealous of the success that Greg and I have had.
But you also took an oath. You took an oath when you became a lawyer and you became a member of the New York State Bar and you agreed to abide by those rules.
You're absolutely right. And we're going to have to cut into a break. But before we do, I want to make sure everybody knows that they can reach us at 1-800-TALK-WGY or *WGY on your cell phones. Or you can send us an email at info@TullyRinkyShow.com.
Pets aren't just animals. They're companions and often members of the family. Unfortunately, pets are not always treated with the care they deserve. Animal cruelty and neglect are sadly a reality. Detecting and reporting abuse are the most important steps in bringing animal cruelty to an end. The Schenectady County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA, is a nonprofit volunteer organization that investigates complaints of animal cruelty. Our volunteers donate their time and energy because they believe in our mission to protect animals. We are not funded. We rely exclusively on public donations. You can help with a tax-deductible donation by calling 518-755-9517 or visit our website, SchenectadySPCA.org. Or if you'd like to join the Schenectady SPCA as a volunteer, again the number 518-755-9517 or on the web, SchenectadySPCA.org.
You know this isn't the right job for you, but the problem is you don't know what the right job is. If you're looking for career advice, Careers in Transition LLC can help. Careers in Transition LLC is a career counseling firm that helps you figure out the right job for you. They're not an employment agency, and Dr. Tom Denham is not a headhunter, but they can help you write a better resume, prep for a job interview, and a lot more. Careers in Transition LLC, 11 Computer Drive West in Albany, 366-8451, and online, careersintransitionllc.com.
As a busy working professional, looking good's important to you. No one understands this better than Best Cleaners, the Capital Region's premier garment care provider and dry cleaner. Got a wrinkle in your schedule? Best Cleaners offers pickup and delivery of your dry cleaning right from your home or office, so you don't have to fit one more errand into your busy week. Call 458-BEST, and we'll take care of the rest. With three locations in Del Mar, Loudonville, and on the Latham Circle, Best Cleaners. Always look your best. Call 458-BEST. 458-BEST.
Well, in the overnight hours, watch for a low dipping down around 59 by tomorrow as you wake up and head to work. Scattered showers, thunderstorms. Some storms may be severe. High 78 by Tuesday. A few morning showers to watch for. High 75, low 53. Wednesday and Thursday, partly cloudy. Chance of a thunderstorm each day. Look for highs in the low to mid 70s. Friday, isolated storms. High 78. From the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Craig Ross with the 810 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
Welcome back to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Matt Tully, joined by my co-host Greg Rinke and on-air correspondents Valerie and Chris. Today we're talking about legal ethics and the professional responsibilities lawyers have to the public. If you hear something you want to give your opinion on, give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or press star WGY on your cell phones. You can also shoot us an email at info@TullyRinkeShow.com if you don't want to call in. We've been talking about how, as I become a lawyer, I've given up some of my rights to freedom of the speech. Greg?
Well, Scott, what exactly is the purpose of, and what is the concern that the Ethics Committee has on lawyer advertising?
Well, the problem we as attorneys have with respect to the public is that we're probably beneath car salesmen as far as reputations go. And part of the process is to clean up the profession, the perception the public has that we're a bunch of shysters, that we're out there just to make a buck, and that we're not servicing our clientele the way that we should be. And I think that's one of the major reasons why the new rules with respect to advertising came in. It's an attempt to get us a better perception, a better reputation in the community. The unfortunate thing about our profession is you hear about the bad that attorneys do. You hear about the ones stealing clients' monies, getting suspended, disbarred. You don't hear about the good that we do, the pro bono work that attorneys do, helping the poor when they can't afford the services of an attorney. And that's part of what this push is to get a better perception of the profession and show them what we really are about.
You know, Scott, you mentioned that we're lower than car salesmen. I just want to point out that I love watching DePaula Chevrolet commercials. They have a very attractive woman, appears on TV, stands in front of cars, and DePaula Chevrolet does a great job with suggestive advertising. And I know of a case down in Nassau County where an attorney wore a string bikini. And if I remember correctly, she laid herself out in a very provocative way across a desk. And
well, that's absolutely right. She laid her across a desk, and the title of the ad actually said underneath, "Does our firm have a reputation?" And in big bold, it said, "You bet it does." Her ad was actually very successful, and she did draw the ire of the Nassau County Bar Association. I mean,
but what's wrong with that? I personally would not hire an attorney that got into a string bikini and laid across a desk, but I don't see a problem with a person doing that in order to get business.
Man, yeah. It's not professional. That's not something that an attorney should be doing. They should be more professional. You wear a suit to work every day. You go into the courtroom, you're wearing a suit. You're not going to walk into a courtroom not dressed to impress people.
Chris, I agree 1,000% with you. But what I'm saying is I don't think that there should be a requirement or a ban on somebody doing that. If that woman wants to do that and she thinks that that's actually going to help her get business, I don't think that the court system should say, no, you can't do that.
Which it absolutely did. It absolutely did help her get business. But what the Bar Association was concerned about was the average client going to think that they were going to get more than just a divorce attorney? Were they going to somehow have sexual relations with this attorney?
And she should be advertising what she's planning on doing. She shouldn't be advertising her body. She should be advertising what she's actually going to be serving for the person.
What does a string bikini have to do with the practice of law?
It draws your attention. I'll tell you, it's been probably 15 years, and I still remember that. I still remember the Polish Chevrolet at the corner of, Central Avenue and Irving.
That's actually a very interesting point that Scott raises, is what does a string bikini have with the practice of law? But under the new ethical rules, I believe lawyers can't even advertise outside of a courthouse. Lawyers can't even advertise in a courtroom. I mean, and that absolutely does have to do with the practice of law.
I don't understand that. Why I can't appear on the courthouse steps with a photo? That's like having a doctor not wearing his little white suit.
But now these rules have been thrown out, right, Scott?
A lot of them have been, and they're going up. My understanding is they're going up to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. And you'll probably almost see them in the Supreme Court as far as the advertising goes. See, a number of years ago, I can't give you the date or the year. The Supreme Court came down and said that the attorneys have the right to advertise.
So before that, attorneys couldn't even advertise legally.
That is correct. There was a question of what they could do or couldn't do. And I know there was a number of years when I first started practicing law, there were some attorneys that were trying to get start advertising in the Albany area. And they were looked at as far as what they were doing and their advertising. And then, you know, with the Supreme Court coming down, that opened the door for attorneys. And the question came, they had certain rules. Now with the new electronic media, the internet and everything, and it gets back to what I said before, it's a perception thing. The need to let the public know what we are as a profession and what we are doing, there's not a problem with that. It's that bolstering, that buttressing, I'm the super lawyer, mm-hmm. You know, on and on, I'm the best or whatever. It's giving a potentially false impression to the public as far as what you can and can't do. And that's why the rules came down and they're very specific.
Scott, why can't I say I'm the best lawyer in the Capital Region? Or better yet, let's use you as an example. As an attorney, can I say Scott Bush, in my opinion, is the best ethical attorney? Actually, I think I've said it about 10 times on the show. Scott Bush is the best ethical attorney for lawyers in upstate New York. Why is that wrong?
That is not necessarily wrong. And I'm not saying it's wrong from that you're right about me. I'm saying it's not advertising. I'm not doing the advertising, okay? Mm-hmm. I can give my opinion about other attorneys in town. Okay, do I want to defame them? No. But can I give – if I'm making a recommendation to a client, can I say Matt Tully and his firm, they do a great job on divorces. Go see them. Yes, I can make that recommendation, but that's not advertising. Usually you're advertising for your own business. You can have your opinion about other counsel, and you can, you know, provide that opinion, and you can make those recommendations. But it's not me talking about me. And that's what it gets down to. They don't want the – I mean, one of the things was you can't have these phony names about
– monikers,
you know, yeah. Yeah. That's correct about your practice.
And why not? What's the heart? What's wrong with having a moniker? I mean, does the public really believe in these monikers?
And how technical are you going to get? Because we have a moniker that we used to use, 518 Divorce.
Well, what about, you know, if you want to call yourself Al the Stanley Hammer? Do they really think that, you know, when you go into court that you're going to be the hammer?
Well, I would like to think that the public can see through a lot of that stuff, just like any other advertising that they see through. But believe it or not, you know, we're on a radio show right now. They've got salespeople. They sell product. Mm-hmm. And advertising is a sale of product. I mean, if you want to put it in the – let's put it in the beer venue. You've got all these commercials about beer, all different kinds of beer, which is the best, which is going to get you the chicks, which is going to get you, you know, the exciting sporting events and all of this stuff. And believe it or not, it does sell because otherwise they wouldn't do it.
That's true.
It does sell. And so that's, I think that's the concern, the buttressing, the false impressions that they're concerned about. And that's why they are very specific in the rules. And until the courts rule on it, we really don't know where they're going.
So it's kind of in flux right now.
It is in flux. And I have had conversations with different attorneys who are involved in overseeing that type of thing. And they're looking at the advertising, but they're not really pushing it at this point because they don't know where the courts are going to come down. I'm not saying they're not pushing it, but they're not getting into the very specific stuff that where you're going to see serious disciplines right at this point in time.
Let's move on to another topic. Geraldo Rivera is a nice man. I've met him a bunch of times. He comes from my alma mater, Brooklyn Law School. Donated a lot of money to Brooklyn Law School. They have a dorm now, thanks to Geraldo Rivera. But he's done a couple of things that have irked me over the years. I think it was back in 2001, he talked about a friendly fire incident.
He actually said that he was present at the scene of the friendly fire incident, and it turned out that he was not, in fact, at the scene of the friendly fire incident. He was 300 miles away.
Right. And the other thing that irked me about Geraldo is, I think it was 2003, during the Iraq invasion, he gave away troop operations.
He drew a map in the sand. That's correct, Matt. He drew a map in the sand in Iraq and basically laid out what the American Army's troop movements and the plans for battle were going to be.
So now I understand Scott's position that as long as he's not a practicing attorney, there's really not much that can be done. But he's still known as an attorney. He's on the Brooklyn Law School directory. His name is everywhere in Brooklyn as a lawyer.
And I believe he was still paying his bar dues at the time.
I think he's still an attorney now. But the question is, how can he get away with misleading information, such as, for example, saying that he was in one place in 2001 when, in fact, he was 300 miles away, or giving away troop movements, which, I'm not an expert on military law. Greg, you used to be the assistant U.S. attorney and a federal prosecutor, but isn't that a crime?
Yeah.
And how is he still a lawyer?
But the question is, was he convicted of a crime?
No, he's not been convicted of anything. And as far as I know, he's never been accused or indicted of anything. But the question here is, he's obviously, in my humble opinion, overstepped the lines a couple of times. And I just don't understand how he was able to get away with it.
Well, the first question is you've got to look at the process. If there was a complaint ever filed against him for it to begin with. The other thing is those things that we do outside the practice of law, unless it is criminal or quasi-criminal, they're not even going to take a look at it if it's outside the practice of law, such as the first instance that you gave with respect to him saying that he was somewhere where he was 300 miles from the scene. That's not even anything close to a criminal conduct as far as practice of law goes, so they're not even going to look at that. As far as the other criminal stuff, if it was criminal and charges were brought against them, they would probably take a look at it. But I don't think they have, and they probably won't at this point.
Val, we only have about a minute before we have a hard break. What about Star Jones?
Well, Matt, Star Jones was a DA, I believe. Does anybody know?
Confirm I think in that? Texas.
No, she passed the bar in Texas. I believe she was a Brooklyn DA. Don't quote me on that, but she then joined The View. Everybody knows that show from 97 to 2006. She pretty much badmouthed a lot of people and got away with it. And kind of goes into the topic that we're in here, where you're worried about badmouthing people on the air and what's going to happen to you. And as far as I know, nothing did happen to her. So that kind of makes me believe that while you're not practicing law, you can kind of...
Well, I guess the question really is can you separate it? Can you turn it on and turn it off? Can I say I'm a lawyer now and I'm not a lawyer when I'm doing the radio show? Can you turn it on and off?
Those are all good points. And when we come back from the news and the weather, we're going to take some listener calls, specifically George from Monticello. We're going to have a chat with you. To reach us, call 1-800-TALK-WGY or *WGY on your cell phones.
If a commercial lease is in your future, listen closely. Conley Associates will provide you with an honest, unbiased comparison of available office space. Unlike the competition, Conley Associates works directly with you, the tenant, finding your business the ideal location at the best terms. Best of all, leave the landlords to us, because we represent tenants only. Secure your new office space with a tenants-only approach from Conley Associates. Landlords need not apply. Conley Associates, 463-5500.
You've worked hard to acquire your wealth. Let us help you keep it. Hi, I'm Abigail Doolittle, Portfolio Manager at Johnson Illington Advisors. Johnson Illington is a money management firm that provides very conservative and disciplined portfolio management services. Our main goal at Johnson Illington is to preserve and enhance your wealth. We have a highly experienced team led by nationally known investment veteran and economist Hugh Johnson. Visit our website at johnson-illington.com. Johnson Illington Advisors on Broadway in Albany.
All right, Integral One Network Solutions. Tell me what they do again.
Well, they worked with us to design our new computer network. That's really made a difference. Helps us run our business better. They monitor everything 24/7 to keep it running smoothly. And they manage it all, so I don't have to hire an IT guy.
So when I hire Integral One, they manage my network so I can manage my business. Talk about peace of mind.
Integral One Network Solutions. Online at integralone.net. That's integralone.net. 464-4014.
Well, in the overnight hours, watch for a low dipping down around 59 by tomorrow as you wake up and head to work. Scattered showers, thunderstorms. Some storms may be severe. High 78 by Tuesday. A few morning showers to watch for. High 75, low 53. Wednesday and Thursday, partly cloudy, chance of a thunderstorm each day. Look for highs in the low to mid 70s. Friday, isolated storms, high 78. From the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Craig Ross with the 810 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
Thanks for coming back to us. If you're a first-time listener, you're listening to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Matthew Tully, and each Sunday at 9 p.m., my co-host Greg Rinke and I will explore legal and political topics on a local and national level. In addition to listening on your radio, we're broadcasting around the world, courtesy of the World Wide Web. Go to www.wgy.com and click on Listen Live for webcam of our studio and to listen to us live. If you missed a segment, visit our show's website at www.tullyrinkeshow.com for podcasts of older segments and to comment on our show's blog. And back to today's topic, legal ethics. George from Monticello, let's hear your general public view of lawyers.
I tuned in your show and I heard that someone was complaining about the reputations of lawyers. Well, I have an experience that I'd like to tell you about. Years ago, I was assaulted by an ex-convict, and I had a bottle broken over my head, and there was a lot of blood. He almost knocked me unconscious.
Are you okay now?
Oh, yeah, I think
good.
It was years ago.
Okay.
I think I'm all right now. But the guy's girlfriend had money, and she hired an attorney, and that's when I lost respect for attorneys because he counter-filed a suit after the guy assaulted me and almost killed me. And I found out later, like, the attorney that he had hired was also a drug addict.
Well,
and
now
when I go and hire an attorney, I look at him and like, does this guy do drugs or is he straight? You know, let me
assure you that most, if not all, attorneys out there are not drug abusers. And it sounds like you have had an isolated case there. But one thing that you got to remember is that the attorney's job is to advocate for their client. So if that means that they had to countersue you, the attorney was doing that in order to protect their client. So even though you might not have liked it, the attorney has a duty under the disciplinary rules for zealous advocacy of their client.
Right, which I agree and I understand. But for a person to hire an attorney, there's no better business bureau for attorneys.
Well,
you know, where somebody could call a better business bureau and find out about a certain business.
There is, actually.
There is? Okay.
Like, for example, the firm that I'm in, we're in the Better Business Bureau of upstate New York. So there is actually a Better Business Bureau. You could also check with the local Chamber of Commerce. Tully Rinke PLLC is a member of the Albany Colony Chamber of Commerce.
Well, you can also check with the New York State Office of Court Administration, which is available on the World Wide Web, which would list if an attorney has had a grievance filed against them and if they are practicing in good standing. So all that information, I don't know what year this incident occurred with you, sir, but basically all this information is now available on the web. And I would venture to guess that the vast majority of the public probably does not even know that it does exist on the web, that you can check the background of an attorney to make sure an attorney is in good standing.
Well, just as a point there, you could only check if they had a public discipline. So if they had a private letter of reprimand or if they had a grievance filed against them, that doesn't mean that it would appear. It's only if they were found guilty by the Committee on Professional Standards.
Absolutely right.
A public discipline. That's what would be revealed as far as that is concerned.
Right. And because somebody uses drugs or alcohol, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'd be subject to discipline. That, unfortunately, is a disease that that attorneys are subjected to just as much as, you know, any other profession or, you know, group of employees. So the fact that he was using drugs, you know, it doesn't make him a bad lawyer. You could be a good lawyer and have an alcohol problem or have a drug problem. Luckily, there's not that many of them. And to the extent that they are, the New York State Bar Association has a substance abuse hotline that attorneys can call when they're having troubles, whether it be stress-related, whether it be alcohol-related or drug-related. So, George, I want to thank you so much for your call. And I want to remind everybody that they can call us anytime at 1-800-TALK-WGY. You can call us for free on your Singulair or Verizon wireless phones by pressing *WGY. We're available also at info@tullyrinkyshow.com in case you don't want to talk on the air. Greg, something I want to throw over to you. Hot topic this week has been judges' pay.
Sure.
How can a judge give another judge a pay increase?
Well, to give you a little background on this, as many of you know, there's been two lawsuits filed by state judges in New York State. The New York State judges have not had a pay raise since 1999. Most judges in the state of New York make now about $136,000 per year. When you take into account the rise in cost of living, our judges rank 49th out of the 50 states for their pay raises. So last week, a state judge, a Supreme Court judge in Manhattan, ordered Governor Patterson, and the legislature to start paying the judges more money. How can a judge order another judge to?
Well, how can that judge give himself a pay raise? But before I go there, Scott, can I talk about this?
Yeah, I think you're okay to talk about it. It is something that's out there in the public, and it is an issue for those of us who are in the courtrooms, particularly in front of Supreme Court judges. So and it is an issue. It's out there in the public, so you're not going to get in any trouble with this.
Okay, because I just wanted to make sure I'm not going to say anything bad about a judge and find out I'm retaining you again. So getting back to you, how can a judge, a New York State judge, Greg, give other judges, including himself, a pay raise, and if I understood it correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong, it goes back 10 years. Why didn't they take it into federal court where they could have had an impartial judge?
Well, first off, the federal government can't order a state to make a pay increase. I mean, that would violate some of the constitutional provisions. However, what happened in this case was these judges, they sued in state court. The legislature failed to enact a pay raise, so these judges took it on their own, including the chief judge in New York. Judge Kaye has a lawsuit, which is also pending before the same judge. And this judge did order the state to raise their pay.
How is that ethical? How can a judge say, I'm giving myself a pay raise, and all of my buddies, you're all getting pay raises too?
Well, he's not really saying I'm giving myself a pay raise. I see your point that in effect, by him ruling on the decision, he is in effect giving him a pay raise. But he was ruling on a case that was before him. This is also a judge that's getting very close to retirement. So the amount that this is going to affect this judge is probably it's going to be a minimal effect.
What is this rule of necessity, Greg?
Well, a rule of necessity basically states that a judge can rule on a case that might impact him if there's no other option. And in a case like this that involves New York state law, there's really no other place to bring the case but other than the New York court. So you're going to have a New York judge ruling on it. The question is it constitutional, or does it really violate the New York state constitution, which says that only the legislature can vote a pay raise for the judges?
Greg, I love talking to you, but I definitely want to hear what Ray from Schenectady has to say. Ray, how you doing?
You're obviously guys that are just like everybody else. You know, you make the exceptions that suit you, and you know, that's the way most guys and most gals are. They look for situational ethics, and they really don't look at the rules of the road. I don't know which guy was it that said, "Hey, it's just a disease, drug illness."
Well, that was Matt Tully. That was me.
Okay, that to me is so obviously ignoring the fact that it's a breaking of the law. Which, when you brought up the possible breaking of the law of Geraldo Rivera, well, that was to be—he was to be swept out of the profession or charged. I mean, we're talking about such a wide-ranging ethical dilemma that you guys have, because you are in the throes of whatever suits you is the law.
Ray, those are great points.
Until the government, in some case, proves you specifically wrong, you assert your right to violate what, for the ordinary public, they would get in trouble with.
Well, Ray, tell me how you'd solve the situation.
How do you solve a situation like this?
Yeah.
The canon of ethics should say that the actual letter of the law is the dominant force. It cannot be overturned by a judge reading into the fact that since the law doesn't say, well, let's take the abortion example. Supreme Court said, you know what? We find that abortion is a constitutional right, which trumps freedom of speech, because we require people to be pushed so far away from the gates of the abortion clinic.
Well,
that people...
Ray, I think by talking about abortion, you've gone a little bit to
okay.
the to
See,
the
there
right.
you go, but... making a definition of what my freedom of speech is.
Actually, Ray, one of the perks that I have as being the host of the show is I control who can speak. And what I want to throw out there, Scott, is he brought up a good point. He mentioned that under disciplinary rules, can you have a disciplinary rule that allows drug abuse, which is a crime? Or is that in itself a crime, a violation of the disciplinary rules?
No, it would be in and of itself. If you were convicted of a drug crime, then you would be subject to the disciplinary rules. Drug abuse in and of itself, drug use in and of itself, and I don't do criminal law, but your status as an addict, if that's what you are, is not the crime. It is the use of the drugs, the sale of the drugs, or whatever. And if an attorney is convicted of those, he's convicted of a crime and subject to the disciplinary rules.
But what about the mere possession? For example, that earlier caller talked about, you know, possession, the actual use.
Well, I mean, it all depends on what type of drug use we're talking. Are we talking marijuana, or are we talking, you know, some sort of over-the-counter narcotic? I mean, it all depends. I mean,
well, keep in mind this too. There are provisions, as Greg said earlier. There is a program that we have in the state of New York for attorneys who have drug problems, alcohol problems, and a lot of times what will happen is the courts will take away your right to practice law while you are undergoing treatment, and you prove that you've gone through the programs and show that you are fit for practice of law again, and you can come back into the practice of law. They're not going to allow you to continue practicing law, say, if you're an alcoholic, you're neglecting your cases, you're showing up to court drunk. They recognize that you have problems, and they have a program set up to aid you as an attorney if you have these problems. But at the same time, they're not going to put your clients at risk by allowing you to continue practicing while you have the drug or alcohol problem. So it isn't like, well, we're all drug users or we're all alcoholics and we're still out there practicing law, because that's not the way it is. Because if you do have those problems, the various appellate divisions have provisions where you can have a temporary suspension. And it can be on an emergency basis if they feel that your clients are at risk. And I've seen it done. They've gone out and got orders of suspension where they've thought that the clients were at risk. The clients are protected in that regard. The attorneys undergo treatment. And they can come back into the practice of law once they have successfully created those programs. And they monitor it. And the appellate divisions do monitor what your situation is.
Hey, Scott, I got to ask you a quick question on that. Is that something that's public? If an attorney does go into a program like that?
No, it is not.
So once they return to practicing law, their clients will never know?
Well, their clients, unless there was a public finding, a public discipline of an attorney, It is confidential.
Hey, Ray from Schenectady, that was a great question, great line of discussion there. When we come back, we'll take some more listener calls. To reach us, call 800-TALK-WGY or *WGY on your cell phones. You could also send us an email at info@TullyRinkyShow.com. That's info@TullyRinkyShow.com.
Usually, a mortgage company's sole focus is property, but first-rate funding is centered on people, not property. Whether you're buying a home or struggling with your current adjustable-rate mortgage, first-rate funding will give you the same amazing personal service. First-rate funding, New Corner Road, Albany, and Broadway, Saratoga Springs. Don't wait. Call today, 452-4700, and please go online, firstratefunding.net, and see how they can help you today. Registered mortgage broker, New York State Banking Department. Mortgage loans arranged with third-party providers.
As a busy working professional, looking good's important to you. No one understands this better than Best Cleaners, the Capital Region's premier garment care provider and dry cleaner. Got a wrinkle in your schedule? Best Cleaners offers pickup and delivery of your dry cleaning right from your home or office, so you don't have to fit one more errand into your busy week. Call 458-BEST, and we'll take care of the rest. With three locations in Delmar, Loudonville, and on the Latham Circle, Best Cleaners. Always look your best. Call 458-BEST. 458-BEST.
If a commercial lease is in your future, listen closely. Conley Associates will provide you with an honest, unbiased comparison of available office space. Unlike the competition, Conley Associates works directly with you, the tenant, finding your business the ideal location at the best terms. Best of all, leave the landlords to us, because we represent tenants only. Secure your new office space with a tenants-only approach from Conley Associates. Landlords need not apply. Conley Associates, 463-5500.
You know this isn't the right job for you, but the problem is you don't know what the right job is. If you're looking for career advice, Careers in Transition LLC can help. Careers in Transition LLC is a career counseling firm that helps you figure out the right job for you. They're not an employment agency, and Dr. Tom Denham is not a headhunter, but they can help you write a better resume, prep for a job interview, and a lot more. Careers in Transition LLC, 11 Computer Drive West in Albany, 366-8451, and online, careersintransitionllc.com.
Well, in the overnight hours, watch for a low dipping down around 59 by tomorrow as you wake up and head to work. Scattered showers, thunderstorms. Some storms may be severe, high 78. By Tuesday, a few morning showers to watch for, high 75, low 53. Wednesday and Thursday, partly cloudy, chance of a thunderstorm each day. Look for highs in the low to mid 70s. Friday, isolated storms, high 78. From the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Craig Ross with the 810 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
We're back to the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour. I'm Matt Tully. And each Sunday at 9 p.m., my co-host Greg Rinky and I will explore legal and political topics on a local and national level. In addition to listening on your radio, we're broadcasting around the world courtesy of the World Wide Web. Go to www.wgy.com and click on Listen Live for a webcam of our studio and to listen to us live. If you missed the segment, visit our show's website at www.TullyRinkyShow.com. That's www.TullyRinkyShow.com. That's a word, mouthful. For podcasts of older segments and to comment on our show's blog, check us out at www.TullyRinkyShow.com. And if you have something to say, be sure to give our assistant Taylor a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or press *WGY on your cellular phone. You can also send us an email at info@TullyRinky.com. We'd love to get you on the air. But first, let's go to my good friend Pete from the Eco Radio Network.
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations and welcome to the Sunday night gang there at WGY. Matt and Greg, we want to wish you the best of luck. And I want to just say one thing, one word, one comment on your topic tonight. Anytime a profession can raise its ethics is going to help everyone aboard. Everybody, whether it's part of the profession of the law, or whether it's going to be part of the people that they're serving. So I just wanted to say welcome to Sunday night, and we wish you the very best.
Hey, Pete, thanks a lot. And it's an honor to be here on Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock. For some of the listeners that are in the Albany area, I wanted to point out that on Thursday night, I was down in Washington, D.C., with my wife and young son. We were actually right outside the White House on Constitutional Avenue, or Constitution Avenue, and we tuned in 810 WGY down in Washington, D.C., and we listened to probably about 20 minutes of the evening broadcast. So most people may not be aware that WGY was one of the first AM stations in the nation. It's pushing out 50,000 watts of power, and people can pick us up as far away as Chicago, Washington, D.C., Ireland, Norway. It's pretty impressive, the power that this station has, and it's a great honor to be on WGY. I think it's kind of a selection process to be here. A lot of the other radio stations in the area, you got to pay money to be on, and they're not very selective on who they put on. WGY has a long history with Clear Channel Communications and the Fox News Service, and they're very picky on who they put on, and it is truly an honor for Greg, I, Chris, Val, our production manager, or producer, Greg Cordeloup, Caitlin, and our assistant, Taylor, to be here. So thanks, Pete. Getting back to the judges' pay raise. One of the things that has irked me, Greg, is that many judges recuse themselves from hearing cases if the law firm which was involved had a member of the legislature in that law firm.
Matt, what does recuse mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, Chris, what that means is to not be involved in the case. So if I was a judge and I had a case with, you know, the Tully Rinke law firm, and one of the members of the Tully Rinke law firm was a state senator, like my uncle, for example. He was a state senator on Long Island for many years. But he's not a member of the firm. But let's assume he was. If I was a judge, I wouldn't take that case because of this dispute with the pay raises. So he recused himself.
Absolutely, Matt. I think that's a big problem. And Justice Kaye has even indicated that that's not appropriate. When you have judges that are basically not willing to accept cases because the lawyers appearing before them may be members of firms of state legislatures, that causes problems. And that could basically bring down a breakdown or cause anarchy within the state of New York, is when you have judges deciding that they're not going to hear certain cases, especially when it's related to their pay raise.
But, Craig, what happened to all the judges that recused themselves already? I understand Judge Kaye said from here on out you can't recuse yourself, but if it's wrong, what's happening to all the judges that did that?
Well, I would imagine that the Judicial Ethics Committee would be looking into that. I have not read anything, you know, to indicate that they have done anything, but that would be something that the Judicial Ethics Committee would be inquiring into.
Well, if just let me interrupt a second. If my memory serves me right, believe me, I'm getting to the point where sometimes my memory doesn't serve me correctly. There was an article in the papers that the Judicial Conduct Commission opined that it was inappropriate for judges to be recusing themselves just because this issue was up there. Now, have they actually started a proceeding against any particular judge? Not that I'm aware of, but again, those things would not be public to begin with. But I do believe they opined it was not appropriate.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you a question. Why do you think that these judges shouldn't be getting pay raises? Gas prices are going up the roof. They need more money in their pocket.
Chris, I could be wrong, and Greg, tell me if I am, but judges make between $110,000 and $160,000, $70,000 as a salary.
They actually make more. I think most state judges make $136,000 salary-wise, and that's not including their pension benefits and their insurance benefits, which bring them over $200,000. And I think we do have to remember that they are public servants. They are serving the public, and do I believe that they are entitled to raises? Sure. But what these judges want is they want retroactive raises going back to 1999. And I believe the article I read put that figure at $700 million. That's a lot of money, especially in today's economy, when there's a lot of other New Yorkers out there that are suffering, losing their jobs. $700 million is a tough pill to swallow.
Greg, the key point you said there was public service. These judges are making six-figure salaries with a defined pension plan, which anybody out there knows a defined pension plan is a very good deal. Basically, you get a paycheck for the rest of your life once you retire. So they're getting all of these benefits, health insurance for themselves, their wives, their kids, and they're complaining. And they're public servants. I don't know of any other public servant that makes as much as them besides the governor. Actually, that's the only person I can think. I think the members of the legislature are making $79,000 plus their Lulus.
But we,
I know my local highway superintendent is making probably a quarter of what we, the local family court judge is.
But Matt, we also have to remember that these judges, they do work hard. They have not had a pay raise in 10 years. 10 years
Boo-hoo,
is
Boo-hoo, Greg.
10 years is a long time to go without a pay raise. And I don't know, but Valerie, I mean, would you stay working for our firm if we didn't give you a pay raise in 10 years?
I think the pay raise is just one aspect of it, Greg. The bonuses, like Matt said, the pension, the bonuses that you receive in a job also go towards whether you're going to stay or not.
Yeah, but we give you bonuses at our firm, Val. Would you stay at our firm if we weren't going to raise your pay in 10 years? We give you bonuses. We give you insurance.
The problem is, Greg, is the judge did it himself. What? How about in the firm? I'm the firm administrator. Can I give myself a raise?
No, but what? But you could quit.
But here's the thing.
These judges can leave the bench.
Val is not quitting if she's making $250,000 a year between salary, health benefits, retirement benefits.
That's
the thing here, Greg. These are public servants. The key word here is public servant. And they're making more than our town supervisors. They're making more than our state assemblymen. They're making more than our assemblymen. They're making more than Mike Breslin, a good friend of ours, the county executive. And they are complaining.
But man,
when is enough and is enough?
They have a lot of responsibilities.
You're saying Mike Breslin doesn't have a lot of responsibilities? Are you saying Mayor Jennings doesn't have a lot of responsibilities?
How are you going to recruit and maintain top quality lawyers to be judges if you don't compensate them adequately?
Greg, last time I checked, there's a bunch of people running for judgeship. It's kind of like that race in Albany County for Congress. There's, what, 40 people running? You don't see a New York State Supreme Court seat being vacant and nobody applying for it.
However, when you take their salary into account downstate, you have young lawyers coming out of law school that are making $150,000 in Manhattan and judges only making $136,000. $136,000 up here in Albany is a lot of money. In Manhattan, $136,000 is not a lot of money.
But public service. You go downstate and you make your money in private sector, and then you decide that enough's enough and it's time to go work for the public and do good things. That's why those judges are down. Now, you can't compare an associate at a big law firm who's making $150,000 with a judge. A judge has given up that practice to help the public. They are public servants.
Well, man,
and I find it very disturbing that people that are the highest paid public servants in the state are complaining that they're not getting paid enough.
Well, I don't think they're complaining that they're not getting paid enough. What they're saying is we haven't gotten a pay raise in 10 years. The cost of living has continued to rise. When you take the cost of living into account, we're ranked the 49th lowest pay. We pay our state judges 49th lowest in the country. And I just think that these judges, they're entitled to a pay raise. Do I agree that they're entitled to retroactivity back to 1999? Absolutely not.
This is the reason why my property taxes on my house is so expensive, is we have these judges making $250,000 and aren't happy. We have other public servants who are making tons of money and aren't happy. If they're so unhappy, resign from the judgeship, come into private practice, come over to Tully Rinky, and we'll pay you what you're worth. If you think that you're being underpaid as a judge, come on over. We'll help you out.
My question to you, Matt, is...
We gotta go, Chris. We're cutting out. That's it for this Sunday. If you have more to say, check out our website, www.tullyrinky.com. The site gives you some information on all of us, as well as some information on upcoming show topics. You could also send us an email anytime at info@tullyrinkyshow.com. I see that we couldn't get to all of our callers tonight. We understand. We do have a blog on our website. Feel free to check it out. Once again, it's www.tullyrinkyshow.com. Thanks again for listening to our show. We'll be here on WGY each Sunday at 9 p.m. and on the World Wide Web all the time. We hope you'll come back to join us next week as we discuss sex in the workplace. Letters, doctors.